This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all The Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. It is the Spiegel and Holmes Show. It is quite the day. There is some big Cubs news that we have to get to momentarily. Alex Kuhn is here. Chris Tannehill put together that hilarious open. That man is Matt Spiegel.
Tanny has a way of tying the whole room together. Got the wrestling in there, got the Who in there, got all the Herberts in there. Let's effing go.
Yeah, you can just kind of like... You don't even have to say anything. You don't have to make any suggestions. He's just kind of got it all figured out.
Lawrence, you and I, both as former producers and music lovers and pop culture lovers, like we have stuff that we think about all the time. I have to hold back from making suggestions to Tanny. I have to physically hold myself back because the man has all of the reference points already.
Yeah, I try not to.
I know, but it's hard sometimes.
I only ask him about like content. I'm only like, oh, hey, I'm thinking about this soundbite
sure.
or whatever. But when it comes to his domain, I'm like, let that man cook.
And I'm awesome!
It's about time he started feeling it. Wasn't sure there for a while. What a day.
We both were really good on the board, but not like this.
Well,
so.
Yeah, but like, you know, but we've also both worked with other producers where we need and do make suggestions. You know what I mean? And this is a different part of the world.
Yeah, he's
Alex, I'm just going to make a lot of suggestions in your direction, well, okay? Just take it, all right, buddy?
Don't
Better
you worry.
Me than him, please.
Okay, yeah.
Yes. Don't you worry, Alex. He's definitely going to make them.
Have you been bashful so far?
No. Okay. As a matter of fact, I have three more research projects for you to get done by 325. Good talk.
Good talk indeed. Cade Horton is going to join your Chicago Cubs.
Smelled
How do you feel about this?
Smelled it yesterday with Chris Flexen being used for the second day in a row, Brad Keller being used. And then when you look down at Iowa and you saw that Keegan Thompson had threw more than two innings in relief, Jordan Wicks had thrown five innings, and that was just yesterday.
And he was matched up with Shota. Like that's one of the factors here, too, where you don't have to worry about upsetting anyone's week or putting them in a situation where they're not on rhythm to throw.
That was the first and primary possibility there, for sure. And really what it came down to was either this decision or a bullpen game. And a bullpen game is fine. A lot of teams do it. Dodgers did it in the World Series last year. It has reached the highest levels at the highest levels of competition. Craig Counsell did it for a while in Milwaukee. I think there was one September where he did at least one bullpen game each time through the rotation, like six times in a row. I'll look for the data on that. And it was an early innovator in terms of like, wow, you can just do this all the time? That's amazing. So he's totally comfortable doing it. But this makes all the sense in the world because of what this year is, what the season is about, the urgency that is now fed by how well they have played against such a difficult schedule. Time is now. Look at the aggression with which they've made moves to change bullpen roles and bullpen people, the aggression with which they sent Matt Shaw down and designated Gage Workman and like moved people around. So they're being aggressive. Every win matters and should matter. Your time is now. Your window is now. Calling up Cade Horton to start this weekend in New York makes all the sense in the world.
I wouldn't have had a problem if the Cubs had decided that what they wanted to do was a bullpen game. With a day off, it allows you to kind of reset everyone. But knowing that you have one issue at the back end of your bullpen that you're theoretically working through, because Presley was at the ballpark at, what, 8 a.m. yesterday trying to figure out what had gone wrong the night before, you would like a little bit, as much certainty as one can have when asking a new pitcher to start about, well, we can figure out other bullpen roles and not have to say, all right, we're going to have this guy pitch two innings and this guy. Now, hopefully, what you get is four or five strong innings from Cade Horton and then adjust accordingly with the rest of your bullpen.
Yeah, absolutely. And it would have been fine to do the bullpen game, but I would have needed an explanation why. And it probably would have fallen towards the psyche and like wanting him to start at home. But as we had talked about when we're debating this decision, the psyche could benefit from being on the road. Even though it's the Mets and it's a tough lineup and all of that, like you're away from the hubbub of the local debut being your major league debut. So I think there's pluses and minuses there. I would have needed an explanation. Bottom line is, I think he's ready based on the results we've seen. When they gathered yesterday, they must have come to the conclusion that, above all, he's ready. And the results have been two straight starts in a row of six innings and 80 pitches, three straight starts of only one walk, so he's got the walk rate down to a reasonable place. Jed talked about making sure every pitch is competitive. I wonder what else they were looking at. We tried to ask Carter Hawkins the other day. He wouldn't really tell us. But whatever they were looking at, whatever they've decided, they think, A, number one, he's ready.
Well, I would imagine that they kind of went through the same thing that we just went through. We're like, are we better off doing a bullpen game, knowing that that could limit us on Sunday if things don't go well? Not to say that things could go badly for Cade, too, but the idea is that that guy is going to take most of the bulk off the plate of the bullpen. I'm sure that they kind of walked all this stuff through on, is he ready? How ready do we think he is? How ready do we think he is to start a game on the road against a really good offense?
Yeah.
Like, all of that stuff.
Maybe we could find out on the back end who's in the conversation, because you're 100% right. That's stuff Craig Counsell will say, right? That's stuff the Counsell will say and Tommy Hotovy will say in that meeting as they're talking about what they will do as a ball club if they do this or they don't do this, how they will react. But Jed and Carter and your director of pitching and your minor league pitching coach, who are probably all there in the conversation, their job is to say whether the guy's ready or not, first and foremost, and how he's going to react psychologically, those things. So all of that being in the conversation, and maybe we can find out on the back end exactly how it went. It's exciting, though, isn't it?
It's always exciting when a prize prospect gets an opportunity. And I think it's more exciting, Spiegs, in a situation like this because there are stakes. It's cool. Like, it's cool when someone gets called up. You know, I was at 35th and Shields on Kopech Day.
As was I.
You know, and that was really cool until the rain came.
Sure.
It was a really, really cool thing. But when you're bringing someone up and you're saying, this isn't just a reward for him, which is enough to celebrate. Like, yeah, that's cool in its own right. When we're talking about, hey, this guy might be able to help us.
We need you.
And we're trying to win right now.
That's totally it, man.
That's more exciting to me.
Chase Dolander came up for the Rockies like 3 weeks ago, their prize pitching prospect. Yay.
Right.
And the results have been, whatever.
It's fine. He's getting that major league experience for the worst team in the majors.
But this is your number two prospect overall, your number one pitching prospect, a top 100 prospect, according to Pipeline, up now to help you in a season that matters. And maybe you will look at this team and be like, yeah, this was that good mix with some of those savvy vets and some of those dudes in their prime and some of those young players who were getting better, like Amaya and, of course, PCA. And, oh, by the way, one or two of those kids whose energy and excitement and newness really lit the room on fire as well on some nights.
I hope that's the case. The texter asked an interesting question. Lawrence and Spiegs, does Cade Horton's promotion mean Shota will be out longer than 2 weeks? Well, Steve, we don't know.
Not necessarily, but I would assume he's going to be out longer than 2 weeks.
Yeah, when you're talking about hamstring issues for pitchers, and Shota said through his translator that this is his first like significant leg injury
that he's had.
So he kind of doesn't know where things stand. And when we talked with Carter, Carter made the point of there's another element to this too. And it's making sure that the language that is being shared between all parties, everyone understands what everyone else is saying and what Shota is feeling.
Yeah.
So the Cubs have to be careful about that too. That Shota's people and Shota's translator is giving them more than just what the words are, is giving them how he actually feels so that they can make the best possible decision.
Their job is to balance, you know, all those kind of questions with specifically just thinking about the dude. If Horton comes up and he looks like he's ready and he pitches pretty well, then he probably gets another time or two through. And then
you don't have to feel like you're in a panic to try and push Shota, which you don't want to do anyway.
Yeah, exactly. And you make the Shota decision individually, you make the Horton decision individually, and deal with what is. For instance, like if Shota were to come back and Horton is good and you still want to keep him up here, you can go six-man rotation for a while.
Which actually might help Shota.
Of course. And it might help Horton too. And it might help Ben Brown, too, whose innings you want to limit. And they've done those kind of things. They'll use days off for that, but they might go six-man for a little while.
Oh, yeah, and that's right. The Cubs have all the Thursdays off.
You got to lie. Every Thursday this month is an off day as a balance for what happened in Tokyo.
That's good, though.
It is. But and also, you might see Ben Brown back to the bullpen at some point. I mean, counsel answered to us very definitively, Ben Brown is still in the rotation. If Horton's good and stays up and Shota comes back, is that answer the same in 3 weeks, in a month? I don't know. I mean, it's a long season.
It would be a great problem to have if your problem is Cade Horton's been really good. What do we do now?
If you could throw Ben Brown at a situation like we talked about yesterday in the wake of the Ryan Presley blow-up, how many dudes do they have with scary swing and miss stuff in that bullpen? One with Porter Hodge? They got another one?
Yeah, I wouldn't count Presley as swing and miss
because his
fastball doesn't have enough velo for it. And people have seemed to have picked up on the off-speed stuff.
Number two might be Palencia on that list.
He's definitely got the arm for it.
The pure stuff. You go Hodge and Palencia, and then what? Merriweather? I mean, Keller throws it up there at 98 sometimes these days when he's just rearing back and firing. But they don't, I mean, it's not, Pomerantz to some lefties has swing and miss. But if you can add a Ben Brown to that mix at some point, I would be surprised if they don't at some point down the stretch, at least.
I know that the people have flirted with this for forever in baseball, and I know that a couple of times it's actually been done. I think that considering that Justin Steele is out for the year, I think a six-man rotation would be just fine.
Especially early. Yep. I think, and they've kind of done that, and you know, at times, and given guys an extra day and fiddled that around. A lot of texters asking the question of who gets off the 40-man roster because Cade Horton is not there. There's a lot of pitcher options to do that with. Whether it is Ethan Roberts, who's in the minors and has now had several bites of the big league apple, and I'm not sure that he's a big league pitcher. So that is one name that comes to mind from the pitching staff. Jack Neely is another guy in the minors who you picked up, who has had a couple of bites of the big league apple and hasn't yet seen it. And then, you know, there's a couple position players of consequence to think about. I'm not sure what Vidal Brujan does for you on this roster, but you'd think that he would be replaced by Matt Shaw when Matt Shaw comes back. If and when Matt Shaw comes back, I think Vidal Brujan's in a dangerous spot in terms of a DFA. But for now, I'd expect one of the pitchers I mentioned. As a guess.
We'll talk more as more information comes in about Kate Horton. If it's made official or anything like that, we will have thoughts on it. When we come back, Speegs has got some envy as a Bulls fan for one particular team.
Do you?
It's not envy. Well, we'll get into
it,
but there's some stuff from last night I do want to talk about.
Good.
We'll explore that next here on The Score.